विष्णु प्रजाय इव देवामत। यवाय स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् त्रयधयज्ञवितनम् अर्थम् कच्चिच्छिवाम् देवकबोजपुत्र्या विष्णु प्रजया इव देवमत। यवाय स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् त्रयत यज्ञवितानमर्थम् कच्चिच्छिवम् देवाकबोजपुत्र विष्णु प्रजय इव देवमत। यवाय स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् यज्ञवितानम् अर्थम्। लेडीज कच्चिच्छिवम् देवकबोजपुत्र्य विष्णु प्रजय इव देवम् तु स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् त्रयधयज्ञवितानमर्थम् कच्चिच्छिवम् देवकबोजपुत्र्या विष्णु प्रजय इव देवमत। स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् यथ यज्ञवितानमर्थम् कचिच्छिवम् देवकबोजपुत्र्या विष्णु प्रजया इव देवमत। यवाय स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् यज्ञवितानमर्थम् चिच्छिव देवकबोजपुत्र्य विष्णु प्रजय इव देवमत। स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् तैयथ यज्ञवितानमर्थम् कच्चिच्छिवम् देवकबोजपुत्र्या विष्णु प्रजया इव देवमत। यवाय स्वगर्भेन दधार देवम् त्रयथ यज्ञवितानमर्थम् कच्चित् वेदर् शिवम् एव्रिथिङ्ग् वेल् देवकबोजपुत्र्या ऑफ द डॉटर ऑफ किंग देवकबोज विष्णु प्रजाया ऑफ शी हू गेव बर्थ टू द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड ईवा लाइक दैट ऑफ देवमतुहु of the mother of the demigods, Aditi, Ya, one who, by, indeed, Swagarbhena, by her own womb, Dattara, conceived, Devam, the Supreme Lord, Trai, the Vedas, Yadha, as much as, Yajnavitanam, of spreading the sacrifice. Artham, purpose. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she, Devaki, doing well? Purport. The Vedas are full of transcendental knowledge and spiritual values, and thus Devaki, the mother of Lord Krishna, conceived the Lord in her womb as the personified meaning of the Vedas. There is no difference between the Vedas and the Lord. The Vedas aim at the understanding of the Lord, and the Lord is the Vedas personified. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas and the Lord to the purpose personified. Kachichivam Devaka Bhoja Putriya Vishnu Prajaya Iva Deva Matu Iva Svagarbhena Dadhara Devam Traiyatha Yagya Vitanam Artham. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she, Devaki, doing well? So this is another question by Vidura addressing Uddhava, and as we were mentioning yesterday, there is a very strong suspicion from Vidura's side that Krishna left this world, and he is really afraid that his suspicion is true, and he is hoping against the hope that he got the wrong impression, and that's why he's asking different devotees, how are they doing? And it's very interesting that every question so far asked by Vidura got no answer from Uddhava. And so it's like you ask, are the people we know doing well, and you get no answers, and then your suspicion grows that everything is really not well. And so, but at least Vidura is hoping that if Lord is still on the planet, at least, you know, by Uddhava's answer that at least some devotee is doing well, I will know he's still on the planet. But Uddhava is not answering. So it's very intense emotional moment in the conversation, and so very emotionally charged questions. And Vidura is asking about Devaki, how Devaki is doing, and he's glorifying her as the as mother of the demigods, as one who conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she is compared to the one who understands the essence of the Vedas, because there is one very powerful text in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, Yavan artha udapane sarvata samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. That in the same way as all the purposes served by the well can be much easier served by a greater reservoir of water, so in the same way all the purposes of the Vedas can be easily accomplished by one who knows its essence or its goal. Because Vedascha sarvar aham eva vedya, Krishna says the purpose of the Vedas is to develop, you know, understand me and develop relationship with me. And so Devaki really realized the purpose of the Vedas because she conceived the Supreme Lord. And of course it was not easy task for her. She was imprisoned by King Kamsa, and all her previous children were killed. 6 children they conceived with Vasudeva were killed by Kamsa. And I mean, we can't imagine that kind of misery, being imprisoned and your own children killed in front of your eyes. And she was suffering so much. But then our acharyas are explaining that it's very typical path of Krishna consciousness. Because the 6 sons born of Devaki, they are personifying 6 main anarthas, 6 main obstacles on the path of devotional service: kama, krodha, moha, mada, matsarya, lobha, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusions. And before Krishna consciousness can appear, and it's interesting that before Krishna appears, Lord Balaram appears, so Guru comes before Krishna, that we need to purify our hearts. So what's going with Devaki is really anartha nivritti process. And it's funny that Kamsa personifies fear, and fear destroys anarthas. That's very interesting. Even though material world is full of fear, but for devotees, even fear can be helpful in developing Krishna consciousness. It's not by chance that many times believers are called God-fearing people. Because fear does help in many ways. And we know for a fact that we have many useful fears in Krishna consciousness which can help in our devotional development. Can anyone name some useful fear, some good fear? What should we be afraid of? Fear of Maya. Okay, fear of Maya is one good fear. Another good fear? Fear of death. Okay. Yeah, fear of offenses, fear of Vaishnava aparas, fear of demons. I guess in this context, fear of anarthas, right? Yes. Sorry? Still, okay, all right, thank you. Fear of forgetfulness of Krishna, very good. What about fear of losing devotee association? That's a big one, right? How many of you have this fear big time? Yeah, and these are all good fears, right? Fears which can help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, Kamsa Maharaj ki jai. It's very interesting how everything in Krishna consciousness can be advantageous for the devotees. That's why it says, Nihapi krama nashasti pratyavayana vidyate. Svalpama pyasya dharmasya trayate mahatomayat. That on this path, there is no loss or diminution. Even the slightest endeavor can protect one from the greatest fears in life. So our fears, our good fears, can protect us from the bad fears, from all the problems we might face. And so on the opposite side, if someone becomes foolishly fearless in the devotee association, then one can encounter greatest fear, fear of being lost in the cycle of repeated births and deaths and everything connected to that. And so, but also the names of Devaki and Vasudeva are very telling names, because we know that Vasudeva, as Prabhupada explained a few times, means pure consciousness. And it's interesting that the word Devaki refers to the connection with the divine. Devaki literally means belonging to the divine nature. And so combination of these two creates Krishna, or helps Krishna to manifest. Krishna, of course, is never created, but he manifests himself. First in the heart of Vasudeva, then in the mind of Devaki, and then manifests himself in a visible form in front of them. And so, in order to become Krishna conscious, we need pure consciousness and connection with the divine. And we also need to go through the purification process. And material world is designed in such a way that there are two things which can happen to us. We either become purified or we become putrefied. So we go in one direction or the other. And the moment we stop becoming purified, we start becoming putrefied. Because the nature of the material world is like that. And that's why Krishna says in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that there are three major processes which can purify even great souls or great philosophers, great thinkers, pavanani manishanam. And what are these three processes? Yagya, dana, tapa, karma. Natyajam karyam evacha. That's why they should never be given up. While we are in this material world, we should constantly perform yagya, dana, and tapa. Sacrifices. Of course, for us, the major, the most important sacrifice is chanting of the holy name. And dana. The moment we stop giving is the moment when we start developing greed, which is the worst of all the anarthas, actually. It's very interesting how Narad Muni describes that in the seventh canto, that there are three, of course, major anarthas, lust, anger, and greed. And then he says, of the three, the worst one is greed. Because anger can be mitigated or subdued by shouting or expressing yourself, right? Then lust, if you satisfy lust, at least temporarily, it goes down. But with the greed, the more you try to satisfy it, the more it grows. So very interesting. And, of course, tapa is really important. Tapo divyam putrakayana satvam shutiyati asmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam, as Rishabhadev says, that this is the beginning of spiritual life, that we perform austerities for pleasing Krishna. Of course, not standing on our heads or sleeping on nails or anything like that. The appropriate austerities are described in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 14, 15, and 16. And then, of course, the most important thing is development of our Krishna consciousness, because if there is a danger of not seeing the forest behind the trees, and so we might get caught up with all the details of doing bhakti, and then we might forget our goal of development of Krishna consciousness. And of course, as we were mentioning at our last class, the essence of Krishna consciousness is smartavyasa tatam vishnu vismritavyana jatuchi, always remember Krishna and never forget him. But then there is a important detail to that, which is that this remembrance should be anukul rather than pratikul, because Kamsa was also remembering Krishna in fear, and finally he was killed by Krishna. And so he suffered his whole life, and then at the end Krishna finished his misery. But yeah, his whole Krishna conscious experience was full of misery. And it's not recommended to be miserable in Krishna consciousness. Because if we follow Kamsa's footsteps and we are practicing miserable Krishna consciousness, then we can't help anyone, including ourselves. So that's why it's really important to practice anukul, positive Krishna consciousness. And what makes the whole difference between anukul and pratikul Krishna consciousness? And we might be going a little bit too esoteric in here, but it is Radharani. She, Radha, makes entire difference between anukul and pratikul. And basically, to be in Krishna consciousness is to develop the way Radharani perceives Krishna, loving Krishna. And we were mentioning last time that New Dwaraka and all the residents of this wonderful place are very fortunate, because you have this extremely special mood established by the deities in here. Because it's very interesting that Srimati Radharani is not explicit in here. So, but she is present in every deity in a very special way. Like Gaur Nitai, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And then Rukmini Dwarakadish, as we were mentioning, you know, this is Dwarakadish and Rukmini in Braj Bhava, which means Radharani, right? That Rukmini Dwarakadish from Lalita Madhava. And then, of course, and, you know, they're all like completely enchanted by Srimati Radharani and her services. And of course Jagannath Bhadev and Subhadra, they are the transformations of pure love. You know, they are transformed in such a way by hearing about Krishna Lila, and especially about Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani. And it's very interesting. You know, you read Prabhupada's books and he gives, you know, like even Nectar of Devotion or other books, even Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, he never fails to give some examples with Srimati Radharani. Because this is what Krishna consciousness means. To constantly meditate on Srimati Radharani and on her mood of selfless sacrifice. I mean, I have to admit that I fell into the trap lately of watching Indian TV serial Radha Krishna, which many devotees perceive as speculative. Because, you know, there are many pastimes we never heard of, and many pastimes seem to be distorted. But the essence or the mood of this film is to glorify Radharani to the topmost extent, to show her that there is no limit to her sacrifices. She goes for pleasing Krishna, and she's ready, and she does go through so much pain. Sometimes it's as unbearable to watch this serial, you know, like, when will this pain of Srimati Radharani will ever end? Not just for serving Krishna, but for helping others who, you know, potentially could become Krishna conscious. So she's just sacrificing herself all the time. And that's the mood. And we can see that it was Srila Prabhupada's mood, because that's real Krishna consciousness. And if we want to develop that consciousness, which I think should be our goal, the topmost goal, to develop this pure Krishna consciousness, the, you know, which is as closely resembling Srimati Radharani's consciousness as possible, there is a checklist given again in Bhagavad Gita. And that is chapter 12. The qualities of a devotee who is very dear to Krishna. And it's such an important checklist for all of us, because it's very systematic. And you know, just consider the first five points, for example, or 6 points we can take. Advesta Sarabhutanam, Maitra Karuna Evacha, Nirmamo Nirahankara, Samadukha Sukakshami. That first one is Advesta Sarabhutanam, to have no enmity or envy towards anyone. Basically, to have no enemies. Which means there will be many people in our lives doing things which are wrong or displeasing. But as it says, the air is human, but forgiveness is divine. And of course, for many people, it's the easiest process of forgiving the enemies is during their funeral. But, you know, it should not be the Vaishnava attitude. We should never feel any negativity towards, even though towards those people who do wrong things towards us. That's the first point on the list. And Maitra, being very friendly towards everyone. Devotee is a best friend of everyone. And Karuna, compassion, of course, is such a big thing. Such a high quality on our list. And Nirmama, to not consider ourselves to possess anything in this world. Nirahankara, not to claim any false position. And then Samadukha Sukakshami, and to be equipoised in happiness and distress. And it's really important for all of us to focus on this checklist and see whether we are advancing in Krishna consciousness, or maybe there is some work to be done in this regard. And the basic symptom of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is that, you know, it's very interesting that the ILS had the motto. They came up with this slogan, more devotees, happier devotees. So I think these two are good criteria, external criteria, if we are, you know, ticking the points on our checklist. If devotees connected to us one way or the other are happy, whether we do everything within our power to make devotees genuinely happy. And of course, if devotees are happy, then there will be automatically more devotees coming, right? So, If we focused on devotee's happiness, then everything else automatically falls in place. And yes, then maybe we could think of different ways. How many of you think it's good idea to try to make all the devotees connected to New Dwaraka not just peaceful but totally blissful, that they are bursting with happiness, that they're beyond themselves in joy? Anyone thinks it's a good idea? Okay. It's a good goal to set. Then everything else will be happening automatically. So, and then the question is, how do we do that? How do we increase the level of happiness of the devotees? What do we do? We have many senior, wise, experienced Vaishnavas in here. So, what are your suggestions? What can we do? So, how do we show compassion towards the devotees?
And try to, in such a way, show your interest in that. If you neglect that person or that devotee who might be somewhere far away, sick, and we don't even go to see him, and then that person, how is he going to be happy?
Mm-hmm.
That's just one. So my, you were mentioning the verse, the 12th chapter. Adwesha Sarva Bhutanam, Maitra Karuna Eva.
Yes. I don't think if this microphone is on, but what Satchitananda Prabhu explained actually falls into the category of empathic listening, that we really listen and we feel for what devotees are saying. And I think this is very important, to actually listen and understand devotees and share their concerns and empathize with them. Thank you. Anyone else? Maharaj? Microphone.
If I understand your question, it is how we can always be happy.
How can we help devotees in New Dwaraka to be more happy?
More happy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that depends on how happy they are. If they have the ultimate happiness, you can't make them more happy.
Okay.
Because all they can do is shine it up. It's already shining. And by doing, this is what I was really coming to. And that is, we have to realize that we have many faults, we have many difficulties, we have many things which are wrong with us personally. And when we do that, as Haridas Thakur said, help me to always feel unworthy. Unworthy of all the praises, the honor, the glory, and the applause that Lord Chaitanya gives me. He didn't feel worthy of that. And so what he did, he threw himself on the ground and said, please help me to become worthy of what you're saying I'm worthy of. So the point there is that we should never feel worthy of greatness that people are telling us that we are. You're great, you're wonderful, you're glorious, you're applaudable. No, I'm not. You know who is? Krishna is. He's the one who's giving it to me. And therefore, he's the one whom I have to applaud when you applaud me. If I take it to myself, then I just become bloated, puffed up, and I think that, yes, I am so great and so wonderful and marvelous. That's not happiness. Happiness is when we actually are always thinking of the greatness of Krishna. And when we do that, what happens is he thinks of our greatness. Our greatness is simply our surrender to him, our submissiveness to him, our love for him, and our receiving from him the wonderful opportunity to lovingly serve Him.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, if we are humble, as I understand, in dealing with devotees, not feeling ourselves deserving or great, then it automatically helps devotees to feel more happy in our association, correct? Did I understand you correctly?
As long as you don't think of yourself as great and wonderful and glorious, you're in good shape. Okay. As soon as you begin to think that, you're in bad shape, and you better find somebody who thinks of himself as inglorious, worthless, and useless. Associate with him, attain those qualities, and automatically Krishna will bless us as a result of our sense of smallness.
Thank you, Maharaj. Archita Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. You always bring up these thought-provoking questions. Srila Prabhupada said, the human tendency is to do good for others. The animal tendency is to exploit others. So that's the first division you should see. Do I want to do good? And the first person you should want to do good for is yourself. If you're not genuinely concerned about advancing, about going back to Godhead, why would you be concerned about sending others back to Godhead? And if you are genuinely concerned about your own existence, then whatever works for you, you'll naturally want to share. If I want to go back to Godhead and chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy is working for me, then I will naturally want to give it to others. So everything, first of all, starts with ourselves. If I conduct my life in such a way that it's obvious that I don't care about myself, then my so-called caring for others is not realistic. It's not genuine. So we're all here because we at least care enough to start on the path of bhakti because we see that it works. So that much we should give to others. In other words, every one of us should be a Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Every time you go out the door, just by your dress, you can interest in others, get others interested in Krishna consciousness, of course, by your words, by your deeds. So if we're genuinely interested in making spiritual advancement, we will automatically want to give it to others.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, self-care and caring for others. These are two takeaways from your explanation. Let's see what Abhay has to say. By the way, very inspiring, you know, like he's playing so nicely instruments and he's listening to classes, so he's growing up to be a really wonderful devotee. Haribo! Please, Abhay.
Remember when you said that peace helps with your devotional service?
Okay, helping others with devotional service, yes?
It also says that in the Bhagavad Gita about like Arjuna was feared from Krishna from the universal form and he did his duty again.
Haribo! Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I can only speak for myself. What makes me happy is chanting my rounds early as possible. Hearing from Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, like at least an hour a day. And going on Harinam, even if I have to do it myself, you know, because the people outside are so encouraging. They give thumbs up. They give this, you know, yeah. And these lay people outside are so encouraging, taking pamphlets, dancing, saying, I love you, man, you know, like that. So, you know, that's, for me, that makes me really happy.
So. Thank you. All right. So I think we're a little bit short of time, but thank you very much for your kind attention and your perfect hospitality in your Dwaraka. And please bless me so that I could serve devotees properly wherever, you know, I go, starting with the Bay Area. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Granta Rachimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.